Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to talk today about God's judgments, and believe it or not, God's judgments are good. Scripture makes it very clear. We always have to remember God is love. God is love. And every single thing the Lord does in relationship to us is an exercise of his love. He's not moody. He's not up and down. His judgments don't come from irrational anger or impulsive responses. God's judgments have always been and will continue to be, until Jesus comes again, a means that God exercises love, a severe mercy, when it's necessary. When either the world has turned from him so dramatically and refusing to listen to him, and as a result causing great harm to people, the Lord will at some point intervene. There's three different ways you can understand God's judgments in the scripture, at least three, maybe more, I don't know. There's God's punitive judgments, the kind of judgment Isaiah talks about in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. He said, you know, when God's judgments are in the land, the inhabitants of the earth learn righteousness. Not just groups of people in the church, but individuals, human beings. When God starts shaking the nations and human beings are face to face with the radical limitations in their own life, but also the sin-sick condition of human hearts and the reality of the kingdom of darkness, the Lord allows, if that's what's needed, if that's what love demands to wake people up, then so be it. That's what love demands. So God's judgments are directed toward fundamentally is removing everything that hinders love. He intervenes to stop oppressors and to stop when things have reached a kind of fever pitch. God in his mercy will intervene to stop and bring things back to some kind of equilibrium. There's also the redemptive disciplines of, it's also a form of judgment that, you know, Hebrews chapter 12 and Proverbs 3:12 talk about. You know, God says, because I love you, he's going to do what? He's going to discipline us. He disciplines those whom he loves to bring about the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And he said, for a time, it seems painful, but it leads to an end. And the end is a changed life, is a changed heart, is a person that's come into living in the peaceful fruit of God's righteousness. And then, of course, God's judgments toward those who've been faithful, toward the saints. He's going to declare their faithfulness and he's going to reward them. That's all part of how God works. And I think sometimes, you know, what we're seeing is many of the baptized are so far away from being able to grasp this because they're not living with a biblical worldview. We're focused on is right in front of us, what we built, what we're holding on to, what we prize most in this world, you know, whether it's our possessions or our influence or the business we created or the size of our bank account or people, things, all of that, that we, many of which are good in themselves, but nothing can displace the love of God being in the first place and the love of neighbor. These things are essential. And the human heart gets revealed in these judgments, the degree of sickness and wickedness that's actually in the human heart that ends up getting instantiated in politics and government and, culture. It ends up in wars and all kinds of things happen. And so today I want to just begin to talk about a teaching. I think I mentioned this past year at least once, the teaching of St. Bernardino of Siena. He was a Franciscan, lived around 1400, right in that period of time, and was considered the greatest preacher of his time. And he wrote a commentary. He preached on Psalm 119, verse 126, which basically says it's time for the Lord to act. For they have dispelled your law. People have forgotten your law. People have turned away. And the psalm says, God, it's time to act. And God often is super patient. You know, God waits because he desires the conversion of sinners. This is his desire. The Lord has the long game in mind. Not just my personal comfort and my prosperity here on earth. He's got eternal life on his heart and mind. And many human beings, we don't have eternal life. We don't live with a biblical worldview. We don't live with an eternal perspective. And so we get caught into a very limited optic of life. And then that creates for us a set of values that are before us all the time that end up displacing the values of the kingdom that are so present in the teaching of Jesus and the life of the church. And so he dives in and he talks about the history of God's judgments, and he finds certain principles and ways in which God acts that I think are very, very important for us to be able to see. First of all, he said this, as God always before his judgments come, whether they're punitive judgments or redemptive disciplines, before he gets to that point, he pours out his gifts and his Holy Spirit to woo people, creates a kind of time of mercy. And boy, are we going through that. When I read this, now this was written, you know, in the 1400-something, long time ago. And I'm thinking about what we've just gone through the last 50, 60, 70 years in the life of the church and the many ways that God's mercy has been on display. One of the most obvious is the divine mercy of Sister Faustina, this amazing grace that went out from this simple saint from Poland that reveals the merciful heart of the Lord and the offering of forgiveness that the Lord desires, the mercy that the Lord wants to go out before his more severe judgments come to awaken people. He wants to do whatever is possible without taking away your actual freedom in this world to help you make the right decision to avoid eternal separation from him. It's really fundamental. And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, this amazing reality of over 100 million people baptized in the Spirit, as the popes called it, a grace of Pentecost, a chance for the church, an experience of the profound love of God, the love of the Father, the majesty and lordship of Jesus, that it's ignited hearts. And Pope Francis called it a current of grace in and for the church. Our Lady of Fatima, Medjugorje, all kinds of things, in ways in which God is, you know, Cabejo, places in which Our Lady appeared to warn, you know, be careful, warn, repent, turn back to God. We can, before it's too late, there's that whole dimension. Those are acts of mercy. But if human beings double down and they don't pay attention to the wooing of the Lord, to the call of mercy, the offer of mercy, then the Lord prepares, you know, for the punishment of impenitent sinners, people who don't want to repent, people who are all in the world, caught up in the world of flesh and the devil and want to be there and don't want to step out of it. Then the third step, you know, in preparation is once it reaches kind of the moment, you might say, the fullness of human beings' rejection of God and ignoring of God's reaching out to try to call them back, the saint called it the time of taking up the sickle for the harvest. So the Lord is dead serious. What did Jesus say in one of the most beautiful chapters in the entire Bible, talking about that he's the vine, we're the branches, the intimate call of Jesus, say, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit in your life. And that very same set of paragraphs, he says, his Father's the vine dresser and he's cutting off dead wood. He's not only pruning good branches to keep flourishing, but he cuts off dead wood and throws it into the fire. And the judgments of God are a kind of fire, a cutting off from. That's one of the things I personally believe we're seeing in the life of the church right now. People say, why are so many people leaving the church and drifting away? Well, certainly, you know, the scandals within the church, the sin that's been present in the church that's been revealed, is certainly, it's scandalous. And with that kind of scandal, some people are going to lose heart and they are going to leave. But at the end of the day, that might be the case for some people, that it was a huge, huge issue for them. I also think for many people, it's a convenient issue for them. It's a good kind of virtue signal. I'm not going to have anything to do with a bad church like that, bad people like that, because I'm not like them. So I'm moving on. And it's getting more difficult now to be able to identify with the church and the church's teaching on fundamental, unchangeable issues, human identity, human sexuality, marriage, all these kinds of things, that the culture now in its blindness, and this is part of the judgment, friends, that's on the culture, humanity is losing its bearings. As Pope Benedict XVI said, we're losing their mind, calling good evil and evil good. So that in itself, you can see, is a revelation of the judgments already beginning to unfold. And then what happens is when, what does it mean that when it kind of reaches, when sin sort of reaches its peak, at the time for the Lord to act in this way? And here's what St. Bernardino said. He kind of gave 7 points. He said, what emerges is the existence of many horrendous sins, like in Sodom and Gomorrah, number one. Number two, the fact that the sin is committed with full knowledge and deliberate consent. Number three, that these sins are committed by the entire people as a whole. So you just see what's happening with the instantiation in our laws, you know, the abortion law, radical change of marriage, all kinds of things are being supported now that are profoundly offensive to God. And so whole peoples are voting on this stuff, and whole nations are aligning themselves, whether they know it or not, against God and God's will. Number four, that this happens in a public and a shameless manner. I can't help but think about all the gay pride parades all over the country and around the world, and the tremendous pressure to celebrate, which a whole lot of stuff that's being represented there, there's a tremendous amount of public perversion that's expressed there that's just scandalous. But it's celebrated shamelessly. Number five, it happens with all the affection of the heart of sinners. When we fall deep into sin, friends, we'll fall in love with sin. It's like an idol. We hang on to it. We celebrate it. And we want everybody to celebrate with us. Part of that is, I think, trying to silence conscience. Okay, but number six, that the sins are committed with attention and diligence. Think of the work and the effort and the money that's been expended toward legalizing abortion and keeping it legal, and then keep telling public lies about it, and all the colluding and the deception that goes on to make that reality spread around the world. And the United States, using its muscle and power, I've traveled a lot in what we call the third world, and I've talked to bishops and leaders in Africa and with India and other places, say the United States puts pressure on people, on governments. Hey, if you want money, if you want our help, you better start lining up with our values. And part of those values are the redefinition of marriage, unlimited abortion rights, and all that kind of stuff. So that's part of what I think he's saying here. Number six, that the sins are committed with attention and diligence. Number seven, that all of this is done in a continuous and a persevering way. It just keeps getting more and more the case. This, he says, is the hour in which God punishes the sin of pride and luxury and avarice with the scourges of plague, war, and famine. That's really what has been the way God deals with these really gross sins that human beings just keep doubling down on, and if they've gotten so broad, so wide, that start to affect entire cultures, and people are being harmed at a very serious level. And then finally, he says, the dimensions of judgment. First, God takes away people's guides, spiritual, political guides, even angels that are over nations protecting them, he removes. Think about that. Number two, he takes away the light of truth. Think about how much today everybody's doing their own truth. Everybody's asserting their own truth, which means it's not true. It's just a self-assertion of their will. They're not interested in objective reality and objective truth. And three, he allows peoples to fall into the hands of their own devices, and then demons have their way. That's pretty intense stuff from one of the greatest saints of all time, the greatest preacher of his time, basically teaching on what the scripture and history reveals to us about God's judgments. And remember, God's judgments come to remove everything that hinders love and to deal with intense wickedness that needs to be corrected in the earth. God bless you, friends. I hope you can tune in tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.